Esther chapter 4, if you'll stand with me, please. We're just going to read verses 13 and 14. Verse 13 and 14. The Bible says this, "And Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, 'Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?'" And let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for all you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for the Wednesday night Bible study where we can gather around your word. God, I have our hearts encouraged. And Lord, just thank you so much for it, God. Now bless our service this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Of course, the background of the story, I know preacher just probably taught through this not that long ago as far as through the Old Testament survey, but the just kind of catch you up where we're at. Of course, we know the story of the book of Esther. It's God's deliverance of his people. Mordecai, at this point in chapter 4, has just found out about the new law that was decreed for the destruction of the Jewish people. He, of course, Mordecai, being the man of God that he is, he does what every Christian ought to do. When they run into problems, he immediately turns to the Lord. He puts on sackcloth and ashes. He begins to pray and mourn and fast and cry. And then he begins to get word to Esther the queen and delivers her a copy of the decree that she can try to use her influence with the king that she has to try to help save the people. And Mordecai begins to employ her. And Mordecai asks this question. He asks Esther the question of this. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And I think if we break that question down, here's what I think Mordecai was trying to get Esther to realize. I think he was trying to get her to realize that this was the moment in time that she was created for. And here's the thought I want to bring tonight is this. The moment you were created for. The moment you were created for. Now, you know, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't a coincidence that Esther was the one that had found herself in the position she found herself in. That wasn't an accident. In fact, she was, I believe, divinely put there by God to fulfill the moment that she was created for. And this message has come from an overflow of what God has been working in my heart about and brought me to the realization of. You see, I've been making this statement lately as I've been traveling and talking to the pastors and talking to people. You know, I believe from the bottom of my heart that what I'm about to do as far as in my life to start and pastor the White River Baptist Church of Princeton, Indiana, I believe that this is the moment in my life God has created me to do. I believe that. And in fact, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be doing what God's called me to do, amen? And I believe that. And so because of that, the Lord's been kind of mauling this thought over my mind. And I just want to share a few principles with you that God has shared with me from this thought about the moment that you were created for, all right? Number one thought is this, everyone was created for a moment. Everyone was created for a moment. By that, I mean this. God has made each and every one of us and with our moment in mind, all right? Our moment, you say, well, what's that mean, our moment? I believe our moment is our specific opportunity or our task that's been given to us by God to have an impact that will matter for all eternity. And every person, I believe, has been created for a moment. A lot of times we may refer to this as the will of God. You see, God has a moment for every person that has ever walked this planet. He's had a plan for their life. Now, does that mean that every person will fulfill that plan? Unfortunately, that's not the case. But you know what? If a moment is not fulfilled, if a person doesn't fulfill their moment, it's not God's fault. It's our fault based upon the choices in life that we make. You see, all throughout the Bible, God gives us examples of people who did just what I'm talking about. They fulfilled their moment. If you'll take just a few moments, flip over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We call this the Hall of Faith. I like to call it this, the Hall of People Who Fulfilled Their Moments. Let me show you some examples here, all right? Hebrews chapter 11, let's turn over there. The first person we find and mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 who fulfilled their moment was Abel. Let's look here. Let me find my place here quickly. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Notice what it says here. I went to chapter 4, verse 11. All right, here we go. Chapter 11, verse 4. Notice what it says. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. That one verse gives us insight into the fact that Abel fulfilled the moment for which he was created. What was his moment? Well, his moment was to be the first martyr and to preach to a world through his death about the importance of coming to God only through the blood, a blood sacrifice. That was the moment God created him to fulfill. You say, now, that doesn't sound like a very fun moment, all right, to be a martyr. But that was his moment, and you know what? He fulfilled his moment. And the Bible says, he being dead, yet speaketh. Look at verse 5. Look at the next person who fulfilled their moment. It was Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and it was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What was Enoch's moment? Enoch's moment was to be translated to heaven as a picture of the future rapture and leave a testimony of pleasing God by faith. That was Enoch's moment. And by the way, I personally believe that Enoch hasn't totally fulfilled his moment yet. I believe he's going to be one of the two witnesses that we see in the book of Revelation to completely fill out what God had called him to do. But to this point, Enoch fulfilled his moment. In verse 7, we read about Noah. What was Noah's moment? If we had time to read, we'd read it. But Noah's moment was to make an ark, not just to save his own house, but to make sure that life would continue to live on after the worldwide flood. That was Noah's moment, and he fulfilled that moment. Abraham, verse 8 begins talking about him. What was his moment? His moment was to leave his own country and kindred and go to a place that God would show him and become the father of God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. That was Abraham's moment. And you know what? Sarah also had her moment. Sarah, in verse 11, it talks about that after in her 90th year, by the way, talking about waiting for your moment, amen? In her 90th year was to bear that promised son, Isaac. Yet you know what we find? We find here in the hall of faith that she fulfilled her moment. So let me say this to you, church. Let me encourage you tonight. Every single person has a moment to fulfill. If God had it for them, God has it for us. Amen. On and on we could go. As you study through the whole scripture, you know what you find? You find examples of people who either fulfilled their moment or failed to fulfill their moment. Observation number two is this. Not everyone's moment is the same. Not everyone's moment's the same. When we look at the saints from the book of Hebrews, you know what? We didn't see any one of their moments that were the same. Hey, it wasn't Abel's moment to build the ark. It wasn't Enoch's moment to father the children of Israel. It wasn't Abraham's moment to be the first martyr. Hey, they all had their moments, but none of them were the same. And you see, church, when God created us, he created us with our moment in mind to be fulfilled the best way by us doing it to fulfill it, only for us to fulfill it the best way. I mean, think about back to our story in Esther. When Mordecai came to Esther, who was the only one in that kingdom that had the influence to approach the king and basically tell him that he had made a mistake and that his decree should be reversed? Who's the only person that could do that? Was it Mordecai? It wasn't Mordecai. Only one person in that kingdom had the influence to do that. And you know who it was? It was Esther. And Mordecai, no doubt, had his moment. But you know what? This was Esther's moment and her moment alone. Let me say to us tonight, God has different moments for us all. I don't think it's anyone else's moment in this church to start and pastor the White River Baptist Church in Princeton, Indiana, except me. That's my moment. But you know what? Just because that's mine doesn't mean God doesn't have one for you. Just like it's not my moment to captain a bus route around here. Just like it's not my moment to teach that Sunday school class that y'all teach around here. That's not my moment. But for many of you, that's your moment. And let me say, not everyone's moment is the same. The New Testament gives us insight into this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and if we have time to read that whole chapter, it goes in depth explaining it. Let me just read a couple of verses to give an overview. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 6. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. You know what those verses are telling us? Different moments for different people. Different moments for different people. So don't compare your moment to someone else's. Be concerned with the moment God has created for you, because you have a moment. Number three observation is this. Other people are depending upon us to fulfill our moment. Other people are depending upon us. Esther chapter 4, again, look at verse 13 and 14, back in Esther chapter 4. Notice what it says here. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there come enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." But notice this last phrase, "But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed." And Mordecai was trying to get Esther to realize, hey girl, people are depending upon you to fulfill your moment. You know, I'm sure the thought of what might happen to her by coming to the king uninvited was forefront on her mind. I mean, she was witness to the cruelty of what this heathen king was capable of. Yet Mordecai reminded her that there were a lot of other people depending upon her to fulfill her moment. If she wasn't willing to do that, a lot of people were going to perish. Let me say this, a lot of people are going to perish if we don't fulfill our moment also. You know, to me, one of the saddest things about a person who's a used-to-be. What's a used-to-be? Well, a used-to-be is someone who used to come to church, used to be involved, used to believe in soul winning, used to believe in hell, fire, and damnation preaching, but they're no longer that. Listen, to me, the saddest part about a used-to-be is not necessarily their life, although that's sad. To me, the saddest part about a used-to-be are all the people that God had for them to reach that they'll never reach anymore because they're a used-to-be. And let me say this, church, people are depending upon us to fulfill our moment. I wonder if our country would be the shape it is in today if Christians were fulfilling the moment for which they were created. I wonder if the blood of over 60 million aborted babies would have been shed if we were fulfilling the moment for which we were created. I wonder if we would be talking about things like transgender and what bathroom you're supposed to use if Christians would be fulfilling the moment for which they were created. I wonder if our churches would be in the stinking mess they are today in this country if people were busy filling their moment instead of wasting their moment on a bunch of nonsense that don't matter for eternity. I don't know where our country would be, but I do know this. Other people are depending upon us to fulfill the moment for which we were created. Hey, do you know why we're sitting here tonight at Blessed Hope Baptist Church on this property in Jaceville, Indiana? You know why we're sitting here? Because there's been some people that have come before us that, you know what? They fulfilled the moments that God created them for. That's why we're here tonight, church. I mean, hey, there was a couple named Bob and Donna Ross who, when they got saved, realized life was more about what God wanted instead of what made them comfortable. And they realized that God had ordained a moment in time for which he had created them for. And I wonder where we'd be tonight if Bob and Donna Ross hadn't fulfilled their moment. I think about things like that. I wonder where I would be. Hey, let's take it a step further than that. There was a couple named Jerry and Ruth Ann Purcell who were neighbors to a young couple named Bob and Donna Ross. I'm not exactly for sure what God's moment for Brother Jerry and Miss Ruth Ann were, but part of their moment was to walk across the street and invite a young couple to church. By the way, whose life here has all been changed by some people none of us never knew. You know why? Because you had some people that were willing to fulfill the moments for which they were created. By the way, we could chase this thing a long way. The truth of the matter is, someone reached the Purcells. Someone reached the people who reached them. And on it could go. And let me just say this. The reason we're here tonight is because people fulfilled the moment for which they were created. And church, let me just say, people are depending upon us to fulfill the moment that God has for us. Who in the future could say the same thing about us fulfilling our moment? Who in 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now will be talking about that person from Blessed Hope Baptist Church that fulfilled their moment for which they were created? Whose life will be transformed? Whose marriage could be saved? Who could be on a mission field? Who could be pastoring a church? All because the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church fulfilled the moments for which they were created. Sunday school teacher, it's important that you fulfill your moment. Hey, bus workers, it's important that you fulfill your moment. Master club workers, children's church workers, soul winners. As pastors, it's important that we fulfill our moments for which we are created. You know why? Because people are depending upon us to fulfill our moment. Now, let me leave you with some very practical application tonight, all right? How do you fulfill your moment? All right, let me just give you just very basic things here, and let me make it very practical. Number one is this: don't get impatient through the preparation process. If you're going to fulfill your moment, do not get impatient through the preparation process. Let's go back to Esther, and let's see how God prepared her. All right, Esther chapter 2, flip over there. Notice the preparation process she had to go through so that she could fulfill her moment. Verse 7. It says this, and he brought up, talking about Mordecai, Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. For she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. You know the first step of preparation God had to take her through was the preparation of loss. She had to lose some things. The preparation of loss. Not only that, look at verse 8. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together into Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also into the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. Guess what other preparation she had to go through? The preparation of change. She went from living with her uncle or her cousin Mordecai to now living in a place she'd never been before, living around people she hadn't been used to living around. So God had to take her through the preparation of loss, the preparation of change. Not only that, look at verse 12. Now when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. She had to go through a preparation process of purification. And she went through these processes, and all these processes of preparation were to get her ready to fulfill her moment. Let me say this, church. God's plan always involves preparation. Always involves preparation. Hey, if it was the will of God for his perfect sinless son to prepare up until his 30th year for 3.5 years of ministry, don't think that we're going to get out of the preparation process. If Jesus had to prepare as our example, guess what? God's going to have to take us to preparation school also. You know, I think back in my own life as I was a kid. I begin to think back and see now for, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and how that God all throughout my upbringing was preparing me for something I had no idea he was preparing me for. I think back to as just a little kid going with my mom and dad on the bus route every Sunday, going with my dad on Saturday visitation. Let me just say this. Thanks, mom and dad, because while you were fulfilling your moment, you were preparing me to fill mine. And church, let me just say this. Let me tell you why it's important as parents that we fulfill our moments, because our children are watching us. As we fulfill our moments, we're helping to prepare them for their moment. And it's so important that we go through that preparation process. I think about those times growing up on the bus route and going on visitation and things like that. I think about the time when I was just 11, 12 years old. It was my job on every Friday afternoon to help Miss Eichmann at the time, all right, my aunt, Mrs. Bovenshin, clean the church. And it was our job for years, me and my brother and Miss Eichmann, we would clean the church every Friday. And I remember, I'll be honest with you, as a 12, 13-year-old, are you kidding me? Friday afternoon, school's out. The last thing you want to do is stick around the school for another 3 hours, okay? But I remember that being my job and thinking about it. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know necessarily why, but all I remember was what was this, that it was important for me to make sure I did my job right. And I look back at that. You know what that was? That was a preparation process in my life. I think about all those times working in VBS as a teenager, all right? I remember preparing in ways like eating goldfish, all right? Although, I'm telling myself here, I got too chicken to eat the goldfish, so I went and got a carrot and carved it kind of down to make it look like a goldfish, and I actually ate the carrot instead of the goldfish, all right? I was preparing, amen? I was preparing by getting my head shaved 1 year, all right? Me and Brother Brewer and I forget who else, if the kids brought so much, then we had to get our heads shaved. And they didn't just shave our heads, all right? They shaved them, then they shaving creamed them and razored our heads, all right? I was so down to nothing that when my hair started growing back in, it started growing up in patches, and everybody thought I had cancer, all right? And so I just wore a hat everywhere because I looked like a cancer patient, all right? But hey, I was being prepared. I remember one summer at VBS, I was prepared by being tarred and feathered with rice and chocolate syrup. Help us. That was nasty, all right? It was a preparation process. I remember as a teenager, a pastor, when he came and was the youth pastor, taking us to nursing homes, taking us on our once-a-month Saturday soul-winning blitzes. I remember then transitioning into Wednesday afternoon soul winning. I remembered our home mission trips that we would take to West Virginia and other places. I remember those mission trips that we'd go on to Mexico. I look back now and realize all that was preparation for my moment. I think of my 4 years in Bible college. I think of my 12 years on staff here as the junior high and high school teacher, the principal, youth pastor, assistant pastor. By the way, let me just say this. I never looked at my job as assistant pastor here as a stepping stone into anything else. I didn't look at it that way. I thought, hey, this is what God's called me to do. I mean, this is it. This is where I'm at. And by the way, I 100% can tell you, I was in the will of God doing that. But I didn't realize at the time it was a preparation process for the moment in which God had created me for. So let me say this, if young people and adults, all of us, if you're going to fulfill your moment, don't get impatient with the preparation process. Number two, how to fulfill your moment. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let fear stop you. Esther chapter 4, look at verse 10. Again, Esther spake unto Hatach and gave him commandment to Mordecai. All the king's servants, this is what Esther's saying here, all the king's servants, and all the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king in the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king should hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. When Esther is saying, she sent a message back, and she says, look, Mordecai, you don't understand. I mean, literally, if I do this, I probably will die. Okay? But look at a few more verses down, verse 15 and 16. Then Esther bade them, return Mordecai this answer. I think maybe she thought about it for a while. I think maybe God began to work on her heart a little bit. Here's what she said in verse 16. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. You know what she was saying is this. You know what? I'm fearful. And good chance of me dying, but you know what? You're right. There's a moment greater than my fears, and I must seize the moment. Don't allow fear to stop you from fulfilling the moment for which you were created. You say, fear of what? Well, fear of the unknown. Did you hear what she said? If I perish, I perish. She had no idea what was going to happen to her. And you know what? We like our security, don't we? All right? We all do. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. All right? But you know what? Sometimes God wants us to say, I tell you what, I need you to do this, and you're going to have no idea the outcome. You're simply going to have to trust me and do what I say, whether you know the outcome or not. You know what that's called? That's called don't letting fear stop you, fear of the unknown. Not only that, but fear of leaving our comfort zone. I mean, hey, most moments, let me say this, most moments will never be fulfilled in our comfort zones. God's got to get us out of our comfort zones. You see, it wasn't comfortable for Esther to fast from drinking and eating for 3 days and three nights. Hey, she didn't just fast from food. She fasted from eating and drinking. That would be very uncomfortable. But you know what? She realized there was a moment that needed to be filled. She took on the risk of the wrath of the king and was very uncomfortable those 3 days, I guarantee you. I'm sure there wasn't much sleep going on with Esther those 3 days, but a moment had to be fulfilled, and it wasn't going to be fulfilled with her sitting on her cushions in her palace room. She had to allow God to move her out of her comfort zone. So there's always that fear. There's the fear of the unknown. There's the fear of moving out of her comfort zone. Number three, the fear of failure. Now I'll be honest with you. All right? I struggle with this, okay? I don't want to be a failure, all right? I don't want to be a failure. There's been, from other pastors that I've talked to, there's been two or three guys go to Princeton within the last 20 years and try to start a church. Guess what? It's never happened. And I'll be honest with you, I fear failure, okay? But God had to come to me and help me a little bit and help me to realize, failure where? Failure in whose eyes? My eyes or man's eyes? Who is it you're more worried about, me or them? And I soon had to realize, okay, God, you know what? If I'm doing what you told me to do, and if I'm going where you want me to go, and I'm going with your power the way I'm supposed to go, who cares how many people I have? Because if I'm doing your will, God, it doesn't matter, I'm not going to fail. Now, maybe in man's eyes, it may be considered a failure. And I hope not. I pray not. I don't think so. I really think God's going to do something great. But listen, I sometimes fear failure. And sometimes we all do. Maybe that's why we don't fulfill our moments. So let me encourage you tonight, don't fear failure. By the way, there's some certain goals in life that even at attaining them, they're so worthy of a goal to reach that even if you fail trying to attain it, it's still better than not trying at all. And listen, don't fear failure. So how are you going to make sure that you reach your moment? Number one, don't get impatient with the preparation process. Number two, don't let fear stop you. Number three, and last of all, is this. Once you seize your moment, see it through to the end. All right, once you seize it, once you realize what your moment is, and you take that step to seize your moment, finish it until the end. By the way, that's what Esther did. Once she got her audience with the king, hey, she didn't stop there, did she? You know what she did? She set up the banquet between him and Haman. She told the king of Haman's evil plot. She told the king about this law against her people. She revealed to the king who she was, and she allowed God to use her to see it through until the end. Let's read back in Esther chapter 10, verse 3, the very last verse of Esther. Chapter 10, verse 3. I want to show you this. Now, I know this verse is talking about Mordecai here, but I promise you this. If this was true of Mordecai, okay, it was definitely true of Esther also. All right, look at verse 3, chapter 10. For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. And you know what happened here? All right? Mordecai, along with Esther, they saw their moment out and to the end. And let me make a statement. Fulfilling your moment doesn't just take a moment to fulfill, but rather a lifetime of faithfulness. Now, you may realize your moment. God may reveal it to you, and you may know what it is. But listen, just because you know what it is doesn't mean it's fulfilled yet. It takes a lifetime of faithfulness to fulfill your moment. So wherever you're at in life, let me encourage us all tonight, fulfill the moment for which you were created. Hey, you were put here for a reason. And let me say this, if you're still breathing, then God can still use you to impact for eternity. So seize your moment, the moment for which you were created. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for all that you have done and want to do and will do. God, help us just to stay usable in our hearts and our lives. God, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege of belonging to a church like this. And God, help us, Lord. We need you, God. Help us to do what you've created us to do. In your name we pray. Amen.